Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for being in our midst. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for who you are. Open our spiritual eyes tonight, Father, and our spiritual ears, and let us see and hear what thus saith the Lord. Let us eat the fresh manna from heaven. Father God, cause the people to understand that you're ready to move forward. And Father, we just do thank you in Jesus' holy, mighty name. I'm just hearing God say you're no longer eaglets, but you are full-grown eagles. That he's no longer going to spoon-feed you, but he's going to give you the fresh manna from heaven. And this fresh manna will thrust you forth in might and in power. And you are going to touch lives all over the world. And God's saying, take nothing for granted from this moment forth, but be instant in season and out of season, and allow me to move through you at any given second. I call you mighty warriors. I call you blessed ones. I call you those who have given your all. To serve me, and others can come into my kingdom. The trumpet sound has gone out throughout the land. The war cry has gone forth. And even though the battle rages in the heavenlies and even on this earth, the victory has already been won. I just need you to go and just be. I am the Father of all lights. And wherever you go, you will take my light with you. And you will transcend even the deepest darkness. Hold nothing back. Give it your all. Walk worthy of the Lamb. You know, God is, I've called this purification tonight. God has been purifying us. He's been purifying us with a fire. And he's been burning away all our impurities. And I know that some of us feel like, Lord, you know, do you actually know what you're doing? Because we've been going through the furnace of affliction over and over and over again. But God knew exactly what it was going to take to get you to the place that he wants you to be. And God has told me that you're there. And you might be saying, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm there. You might be saying, there's just some things, God, that are just still plaguing me. But you know what? God knows where you're at. You don't really know where you're at, but God knows where you're at. And he's just saying, keep moving. Just keep moving. And I'm really encouraging each one of you here tonight that I don't care how you feel about yourself. I don't care what the enemy is saying to you. God is saying, you're where I need you to be. And just keep moving. You know, we sort of think we have to be up here in some spiritual zone, you know, where we don't even make any sense at all. We just do stupid things. But no, we're supposed to be walking here on this earth, being a vessel of honor that God can work through. And as you study the disciples, if you do, you'll find out that they were a mess more times than not. But Jesus kept walking with them, kept teaching them, and he knew one day when he wasn't here any longer, they would be all that he needed them to be. And so I'm just encouraging you tonight to be all that God needs you to be right now. You don't have to wait for something to hit the wall. Just be all that God has called you to be. And be yourself. Whatever you do, be yourself. That phrase, you know, they're so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. For the past 4 days, that's been going through my mind. And, you know, it's a, don't try to be some spiritual thing up here, you know. Be who you are. Be content in Christ and just let him use you in the capacity he needs to use you. Okay, so most of the time when we read the verse below, we walk away thankful for God's faithfulness and his promise to forgive in the midst of mistakes. And that verse is 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many of us have skipped over the other part? John says that God is also just to purify us from unrighteousness. So you've been going through the purification process for years now. All right, I'm going to say this before I say that. Have you ever watched Purification in Progress? Think about a precious metal like gold. There is only one way to purify gold, and that's with fire. And we're not talking about an outward brush with the flames. Purification comes from being plunged into the heart of the fire, the place where the fire is harshest and turns blue, and kept there until that which is being purified loses any resemblance to what it once was. After the gold is purified, the gold can be molded according to the will of the goldsmith. It is only taken out of the fire when its final shape has been formed. You know, God's been bringing the fire in different ways to us. You know, every time he says, well, you know, I brought the fire to do this, I brought the fire to do that. I didn't understand it was a purification process because I said, God, you just said that about the fire. Now you're saying something else about the fire. It was a purification process that he was bringing us through. And then one day he said, daughter, I burned up all the chaff now, and now I'm ready to use them. So God knows when you're purified. He knows when he's burned all the junk out of you. The enemy knows that too, but the enemy will try to make you believe you still have junk in you. You have to understand that when God purifies, he does a perfect work. Doesn't do a halfway job. He does a perfect work. So whatever he's done with you, it's finished. Your purification is finished. Now you just have to walk it out. Just keep going forward and do what God's calling you forth to do. That's just period to end. That's just what you have to do. Remember when God told me, he said, I'm going to put you in the water, and I'm going to put my foot on your neck, and I'm going to hold you down until I drowned you. What was that? That was purification. When he said that, I thought, that's a little harsh, Lord. But, you know, he was taking every last bit of junk out of me so that the enemy wouldn't have anything to use when God started doing the works he wanted to do. And that's what he did with each one of us. The different things he called you to the altar to do, he was doing another step of purification. And I think it's just wonderful that God spent so much time with us, and he told me it was a decade, that's 10 years, right? He did so much work with us and with his grace and his mercy until we was the place where we need to be, to be the vessel of honor that God wants to use. All right, when we as believers confess our sins, God not only promises to be faithful, which he always is, and to forgive us, which he always does, he promises to engage us in the painful process of purification. to cleanse us from the sin that is tearing us apart. You know, some people get all upset when God's purifying you, and excuse me, if he says something harsh, you get all upset about it, but that's part of your purification. I am so glad that God just shows me everything I'm doing wrong, because I don't want to miss God, and I'll miss God if I don't go through the total, complete purification process. Now, if you sit in here, God's going to tell on you. So if you don't want to be told on, then don't come around. Because, you know, there's somebody in here that really does want me to prophesy to him. And I said, God, don't ever use me to prophesy to them again. Well, he did the last service. And, you know, because I'm a vessel that said, God, use me any way you want to. This person, whether they wanted me to prophesy to him or not, had to hear what God had to say if God was going to finish the purification process in their life. And, you know, if you're going to talk about a prophet, then don't be around that prophet, because God's going to be on you. Like, you know, don't believe, because he says, do his prophets no harm. All right. If you don't believe a prophet, then why are you sitting under a prophet? Why don't you just move on? You know, they always say that anybody does a sound booth, they do the sound booth because they don't really want to be bothered by God. They really don't want to walk 100% with God. You know, but I heard that when I first got born, when I first started the church and I was going around to the pastor's conferences. They said the best person that does a sound booth is somebody that doesn't really want to get too involved with God. And they just, you know, sink themselves into the sound booth. I don't know if that's true or not, but I have seen that proved out a couple of times. All right, God promises to engage us in the painful process of purification to cleanse us from the sin that is tearing us apart. How many of you you've been at home and you've just sat before God and you've wept and cried, God, I need to get rid of this sin. God, please take this sin from me. And you just keep crying out to God and crying out to God. Well, when God does the things he's doing to you, he's purifying you and he's answering your prayer. He's getting you free from that thing that's plaguing you. Joshua 5:11 says, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Now, this was the Israelites. The old corn was stored grain that had been dried or roasted in the fire. Now listen to what I'm saying. It was not brought from the wilderness side of the Jordan, but had been grown, harvested, and processed by the people living in Canaan. So they didn't bring it with them. It was already there when they crossed the Jordan. Here we have a picture of the body of Christ being fed by those forerunners. What are we? Forerunners. Here we have the picture of the body of Christ being fed by those forerunners who have been through the fires of what? Purification, and have been held in reserve for such a time as this. God told me that when we first opened the doors that we are a forerunner church. I had no idea then how deep that meant that we were going to go in God. But so I said, here we have a picture of the body of Christ, right? Being fed by who? The forerunners. So what is God doing with all of you forerunners in here? He's purifying you, and then he's sending you out so you can feed the rest of the body of Christ. You have to understand how important your position is in a forerunner church. All right, the forerunner, their walk has been lonely, venturing where the body has not been as a whole. All right? They have been hidden and unknown and uncelebrated while nourished by the very grain they will be offering to the body. We know as a forerunner church that we have been rejected. We have been alone a lot. But God had us there because he was purifying us so we could be the rest. Remember what we said a forerunner is? They go ahead and they clear the path so other people can follow, and they don't have to do any clearing. They just follow. All right, so a forerunner goes forth and they fight all the demons in hell and get the place purified and cleansed. And then you little whippersnappers come through and you use the bolts right on through. You see what this is how this works, all right? All right, what they have to what the forerunners has to share will be new to the church. What did God tell us? We're going to be sharing things with the body of Christ that has never been heard before. All right? The Hebrew root for the word old grain means transition. So we have, what did God tell us? We've been in a transition period for 10 years now. And he's been taking all the old out of us and placing the new in us. All right? Do you understand that? The words the forerunners speak will transition the church into a place of fresh understanding of old truths. So what has God been saying to us? He wants us to bring the truth, the real truth, to the body of Christ. The world out there is in such, we were talking about that before service, the world out there is in such a mess because they don't have any true leaders that have taught them the truth and brought them forth in the truth. They're just walking around blindly, led by deception. I think he might need you back there. And they're just flying by the skin of the seat of their pants. So you just don't really understand what's really going on. But because you came and you sat before God, and I know some of you think, my Lord, is this ever going to end? And you went through your deliverances and whatever. You went through the humiliation of God telling on you in front of everybody. I've been there. Come on. You're not the only one that happened to. And, you know, but you still sat there and grinned and like, But inside you're saying, I can't believe that I just said about me. But, you know, you're telling God, here I am. I'm giving you every bit of me, the crown of my head, the soles of my feet. Do with me what needs to be done for me to be a vessel of honor that you can work through. But when he starts doing that, then your old hair goes up in the end, and you know you carry on like a fool, and you didn't really mean that. You just didn't know God was going to go that deep. Well, he has to go deep within you to purify you, to purge all the old junk out of you, to burn all that old chaff that's in there out of you, so you can be a vessel of honor that he can work through. And believe me, God has forerunner people all over the world that he's had on the backside of the desert, and he's bringing them forth now because he has taught them and he has purified them, and they're ready to come forth now and help other people. Give the word, the path you have already cleared. You guys have already cleared the path. Us older people cleared the path for your younger people. You younger people have cleared the path for the ones behind you. We all work together in unity. And now that this harvest is coming in, they're just going to come in here. And they're going to get saved instantly, not 10 years of deliverance, you know, and all that stuff. And God's just going to use them. His word says so. That's the way it's going to happen. Read Joel, that's all about. All right, the words the forerunners speak will transition the church into a place of fresh understanding of old truths. It will be a word purified by fire, in which all the hay and stubble have been removed, a word that can be built on. I just told you all that. The hungry in the church will be able to embrace and partake of this word because the forerunners will be the message. You are a message. When you go out there, you have a message in you. I've told you this before, I'm going to tell you again tonight. When I first went out on the road as an evangelist, I said, I was going to churches where nothing but pastors were coming in to hear. And I said, God, I have nothing. These people have churches 40, 45 years. I've only been this thing a month. I have nothing new to give to them. He said, you just go. And when God would use me and speak through me, the pastors would say afterwards, I've never heard that before. So don't let people say, just because you're young and new in the Lord, that you don't have a word. You do. You are the message. And it's things that you should feel the Holy Spirit all over you right now. You have a message that they haven't heard before. Because the church has been very lax at giving the truth and making sure people are really free from the bondage. They're too busy trying to get the people's money and not concerned about the soul. All right, your lives will speak. The word of revelation from the throne room will have become flesh in you, your forerunner. And the words that you speak will be spirit and life. All right, spirit, and it's going to bring people out of death into life. You know, I was up to 5 o'clock this morning getting this together because I was going to give a message I didn't give Sunday. And I was so excited, and I felt the vibrancy of what God is doing with everybody in this room, anybody that's listening, you know, with what he's going to do is so awesome, and there's such a magnitude of the Spirit in what he's doing that you won't even know how to even act. You won't know how to, you'll be like, I hear the word gigglified, if that's such a word. You know, that you'll just go. And, you know, God will be, it already has you, and he'll just start using you, and you'll just flow with his Spirit, and you're going to see great mighty works done. All right? According to Joshua chapter 5, on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread in Canaan, God's people eat both unleavened bread, bread without hypocrisy and sin, not the puffed up hypocritical diet of teaching offered by the Pharisees, and roasted corn, teaching from vessels that have been refined in the fire. And when this happened, after they ate that food that day, they had no more manna. Manna was finished that day. And then they were walking in the newness of what God was doing in their life. They had passed over the Jordan, left the old behind, and left the manna behind, and walked into the newness of life. All right, that's where you guys are at. I don't know if you know it or not. I don't know if you feel it or not, but the anointing of God is in here, and God wants you people to get so unfair for him tonight that you'll never stop. We still have to act normal, though. You know, we still have to go about business as usual, but we can do that so unfair for God that, you know, what you really feel like is that you don't belong in this world. I mean, that's how I feel all the time. I feel like I'm not, you know, I'm here, but I feel like I'm not normal. Let's put it that way. And that's where you're going to feel. And that's a wonderful way to feel. And you just can't wait for God to use you to do the next thing. All right. And this is where you're at. When the bride of Christ speaks the words testify that she has been with Jesus. In other words, everybody's going to know you've been in the presence of Jesus. And Dion, I just got to tell you this. I saw you in a vision. I had laid down about 6 o'clock this morning. And as soon as I closed my eyes, I saw you standing in front of a crowd of people singing with the anointing of God on you, the glory of God all around you, and the people were just falling out in the Spirit as you sang. The anointing was coming out of your, you know, out of your mouth. And don't you feel the Spirit on that? You know, this is where God's taking you, personally. I would get so excited if that I wouldn't be able to do what I was going to do with myself. I really would. And, you know, when I was first born again, first prayer meeting I went to, the guy singled me out and he told me how much God loved me. He said, God is going to use you powerfully. And I thought, all right. I didn't know what I know today, you know. But, you know, as I yielded to God, and he just started to use me. And when you give yourself to God 100%, he uses you whether you want to be used or not. All right. And I'm hearing God say, you are a hundredfold group of people that he can send out there and do a mighty works for him. He's saying the old is totally gone. And now you have stepped into the totally new. And he says, get ready because I'm going to surprise you more times than not. Okay, therefore the roasted corn represents the forerunner company of the bride. In the formation of the very first bride, the rib, which has been hidden deep within the body of Adam, close to his heart, is removed and formed into Eve. Now listen to what I say here. The word rib comes from a root word meaning limp, L-I-M-P. These forerunners are those who have wrestled with God in the darkness until their names and characters have been changed. And how many of you can say you really wrestled with God at times with trying to get rid of your sin nature, and you thought you was never going to come out of that thing alive? All right? They are the overcomers who humbly walk with a limp, knowing that God's strength is perfected in their weakness. God always gives me that, you know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When you feel like you can't go another step, God steps in and he gives you strength to do the things that he's using you to do. They do not speak in the persuasive words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit in power. While the body of Christ has been in a slumber, God has been working with the rib. This group that has come apart is being molded in his hand like clay. And I know some of you personally, you know, in the spirit, and God has molded you and smacked you down and molded you again and smacked you down, you know, until finally you are what he wants you to be. And I'm hearing him say, a vessel of true honor. He has been building and forming Christ within you. As they are unveiled to the body, as it rises from slumber, there will be immediate recognition that they both came from the same substance, the incorruptible seed of Christ, and there will be an embracing and cleaving to become one. You see, God's been telling us, become like Jesus. And he's been working with us, forming us in the mold of Jesus. And when we walk, when we speak, we will be carrying Jesus with us. And the Holy Spirit will be there in all of his glory. And God's just going to turn the world upside down. All right. And Joshua 5:12 tells us that after the people of God had eaten of the food of transition, the manna ceased and they never ate it again. I got ahead of myself, didn't I? There you go. The manna was a daily portion of substance God provided to get them to that point and position. I know some of you have gone home and you cried and you act like a crazy fool and I'll never get to where God's taking me to. Yes, you did. You're there. Whether you feel like it or not, you're there because God told me he's finished shaking. And you are who you are and God's going to use you as you are. All right? Man, the sin nature will just disappear because you're going to be so busy working for God, you won't even think about sin anymore. All right, once the forerunners had absorbed the revelation that transitioned them to a new place of understanding, they did not need the old. You won't need that sin because you'd be so happy in what you're doing with God. They ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. The promised land is about the Christ within. We are fed and nurtured by the fountain of living water within. You know, that's why God keeps having me, you know, stir up that fountain of living water within you and let it bubble up, let it come forth, let all that anointing come forth so that God can use you powerfully. You know, it's there, guys. Just step out in faith and use it. That's all you have to do. God is not out there somewhere, but he's within. Our fellowship is with the Father in Christ who comes to dwell with us because we obey his commandments. I don't know, I know that some of you are just like me, that you've been with Christ for a long time. You know what it is to be in his presence 24/7, but you also know what it is like when you don't obey and he withdraws. And you very quickly repent, and so he comes back in. And when he withdraws, you're dry, you're dead. There's no reason to live. But then once you repent and God comes back, it's a whole new ball game. All right? Try it. I'm just hearing God say, try it sometimes. All right? All right. The forerunners not only saw the fruit of the promised land as their Israelite fathers had so many years before in the wilderness, but each one personally tasted or experienced the truth that God is good and faithful to fulfill what he has promised. He was giving each of us a personal testimony. How many times has God told you what you've gone through is nothing to be ashamed of? It's your testimony to win others to Christ. All right? I know that a lot of people have given their heart to Christ just watching me walk out my walk with God. If God can do that with you, he can sure do it with me, is what they tell me. And they start following God, and they get saved, and they're working for God. So each one of us have a testimony. We don't all want the same testimony. We're glad that we have our own personal, individual testimony to save the lost, all right? So I don't want your testimony, and you don't want mine. Be happy with your testimony, because you're going to meet people that I'll never meet, and I'm going to meet people that you'll never meet. And God sends us the people that can relate to our testimony, all right? So many are holding on to unfulfilled promises, and we feel that we have little to tell the world in our present circumstances. We still struggle with sickness, poverty, and the brokenness of soul and relationships. So our words seem hollow to our own ears. How many of you have done that? You know, give a testimony and you're thinking, I'm not even there yet, you know? So our words seem hollow to our own ears when we try to tell someone in the world that God wants to heal the sick, marriages, or whatever they struggle with. And here you are sick, and you're telling them God's a healer, you know, and you feel like a fool, you say. But, you know, we're not fools because God has already healed us. We just have to walk it out, right? We first need a personal experience of God's goodness to carry the news. Did you hear that? First of all, you have to experience it. It has to be real to you before you can really give it out and cause other people to change. Like the woman at the well to a waiting Samaritan village. She was there at the well, and everybody knew who she was, and she went around telling everybody about the man at the well, and the people came, right? In Psalms 92, the palm tree represents the righteous. However, moving from Psalms to Song of Songs, we find the palm tree now representing the bride. And I haven't read the prophetic words, but the title is Protect the Trees. And I'm quite sure if I read that, it's all about the palm trees. All right? Song of Songs 7:7, this thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast are clusters of grapes. And verse 9 speaks of her mouth tasting like the best wine. The root word for roof means hard. Although these fresh insights into the word may be hard teachings, and we know they are, as in the case when the disciples were faced with the teaching of Jesus about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, we need to receive what we hear, for then our experience will be as a tasting of the best wine. Now, how many of you, whenever you tell somebody about communion, you tell them, you know, to drink the blood, eat the body, and they look at you like you just lost your mind? It's a hard teaching. There's a lot of hard teachings in the Word of God, but their testimonies are truth, and we need to hold on to them. In John 2:1, Jesus saved the best wine for the third day. Jesus poured out. Now, see, this is talking about people, okay? Jesus poured out of those vessels that had been standing, holding the water of the word within them during the first 2 days. Now, I know this is talking about the vessel to put water in the Bible, but as I was reading that, God said, this is actual vessels, you and I. All right, and we've been around carrying that water, that living water within us, all right? All right, so their contents were first offered to the governor of the feast, who then called the bridegroom and confirmed that the best wine was reserved for the end of the feast. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit preside over the banqueting table. Now let's just stop there. We have this living water within us, and what we do is we share it with everybody around us, and they look at us like we have two heads. But as the Holy Spirit works with the words that we put out there, it becomes reality to them, and they realize, and they read the word and see it in the word, I do have a well of living water in me that's been standing there stagnant. And you know, and God will say to me when I pray for people, stir up those wells of living water. In other words, you have the wells of water in you, but they're stagnant because you didn't know they were there, and you didn't know what to do with them. All right, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go forth and stir up those wells of living water. Now, just as we have tasted the first fruits or down payment of the Spirit, this time it is God who has a foretaste of what has been held in store for him. Forerunners looking and acting just like Jesus. God's excited right now. I'm telling you, because he's been talking to me about this church. He's been looking down on this church, and he's happy with us. I know you're just like the disciples, but still know God is happy with you. He's excited with what he's getting ready to do. And you should feel the Spirit of God right now in that. All right? Now God is getting blessed. Because finally, something has clicked in here, even though you don't know it. And you're going to just one day just jump and say, wow. And you're going to be on fire and do the things God wants you to do. All right. So we're going to be looking and acting just like Jesus. And he's been working on us for, 2 weeks now or so? All right, he tasted the other fruit of his promised land. A people whose full-bodied aroma and lingering aftertaste are the same as Christ. All right, you know, God's been watching us and watching our fruit, working over fruit, trying to bring our fruit forward, right? Now he wants the aroma of Jesus to come forth. He wants us to be just like Jesus. Then it is time to call the bridegroom and let him know it is time to bring his bride. She has made herself ready. She is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. She said, the light has us finally got it. Come on, Jesus and Holy Spirit. We're ready to move them. I'm ready to move them forward. And he really is happy with us. He really is. What a price the forerunners have paid to ensure the redemption of the whole body. You all know you paid a terrible price, right? And sometimes you didn't think you was going to make it through that furnace of affliction. But you did. And now others are going to reap. Now the fragrance of their surrender on the altar of sacrifice reaches the nostrils of God. And he knows that if these few exude the perfume of Christ, then the whole body will also be enveloped with the same fragrance. A woman puts perfume on her pulse spots, but it gives a fragrance to her whole body. Now, I've heard God say, Your aroma has come up to me as a sweet-smelling essence unto my nostrils. In other words, God said, you finally made it. You finally got it. And it's now you have an aroma about you. And that aroma is going to seep out of you and win souls for him. God's awesome. All right, these few, the forerunners, are depicted in the woman with the alabaster box who despised the shame and ridicule of those with Pharisee hearts and poured out the content of her broken and alabaster box upon Jesus. She was ashamed of what she was, but she still poured out the alabaster box. John 12:3 says, Mary came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped them with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the whole house. I want to stop there. You know, in my walk with God, I've gone through many, many trials and tribulations, a lot of heartache and tears. And one night I went out and stood on my deck, and you know, there was just like a dew just fell down over me. But God, no, that's when he said, I went through two experiences. I said, God, what is that? It was just right where I was standing on a deck, no place else. And he said, that's the dew of Hermon that I've come and I've poured over you. And then one other time, that was awesome in itself. Everything God's done to me is awesome. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. But I was paying price after price after price to stay following God and being in God's will, doing what God wanted me to do, going through all the trials and tribulations of life. And one other time, I was really in a twit, and God said, I brought the alabaster box to you, daughter, and I'm washing your feet. That broke me totally and completely. And I quit my groaning and moaning. My father brought the alabaster box and washed my feet. That's awesome in itself. So you guys don't understand walking with God 100%. I know the trials and tribulations are bad. And I know people say to me, you shouldn't have to go through this. Yeah, I do. If I'm going to be the vessel of honor, if I'm going to have a testimony, I have to go through this. Are you understanding that? And then you'll be that sweet aroma that God can use to win souls. Although it was only Mary who poured out that which was most precious to her, the whole house was permeated with the perfume. You might be the only one in this room that has to go through terrible trials and tribulations. But when God's through pressing you, that aroma, that anointing is going to be through the room. It'll touch everybody in the room. Are you understanding this? It's worth the price. And you have to tell yourself that every day. It's worth the price. You have to tell yourself that. Maybe you don't. I do. I have to tell myself every day, it's worth the price, Father, to see a soul saved. All right. The forerunners are poured out as a foretaste or first fruits of the best wine on the third day. You know, we are in a dispensation time where we are clearing the path for the second coming of Jesus. And this is why that God is doing everything he's doing, and why the miracles and everything are going to be happening. All right, this surrender to the purposes of God causes the rest of the body to inherit their portion of the promised land. And John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lays his life down for his friends. I wish the body of Christ would get that in their spirit, though, because we really don't. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lays his life down for his friends. In other words, it doesn't matter what God's causing you to go through. Doesn't matter how much pain and heartache and tears is causing you. You're going through all that for your friends, for your family, you know, for even for the world. Greater love. And what's God been working on? Love. We have to be a vessel of love. Just as Jesus demonstrated during his Passover meal with his disciples, it is the laying down of their lives in order to wash their brothers and sisters' feet with the water of the Spirit, quickened word, that will release many into the experience of their inheritance in Christ. I want to stop there. You know, my husband, he was a mess at times, and God said to me, I want you to get a basin of water and wash his feet. And I didn't realize at first what he was saying to me, but as I washed his feet, I became his servant. And no matter what I had to go through to get him saved, I had to do it rejoicing. Has God asked you to wash somebody's feet that's putting you in a mess, causing you heartache and pain, but you won't do it? Then you're really not sold out to God. You're not his servant. This coming battle is not about flesh and blood. It is not a battle of whether God is on your side or not. The battle that we are in is the battle of the Garden of Eden. It is a battle for the heart of man. The kingdom of God is within you, and so is the promised land of your inheritance. The greater the revelation of Christ your heart embraces, the more Christ is manifested within you. Therefore, the more glory rests upon you. Did you understand that? You know, it was all in the garden, it was all about Jesus loving man and man loving Jesus back. Then the enemy come in here wanting you to eat stupid fruit and ruined all that. You are Christ's inheritance and he is yours. Paul's prayer was this in Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Long lasting, his inheritance is in you. 1 Corinthians, Paul went through a mess for these people. I mean, he everything that could happen happened to Paul. And when God called him, Paul was an influential man, had riches, had everything. But he laid all that down, became a poor person, so he could be a vessel of honor for Christ to work through. 1 Corinthians 13:12 in the Message Bible says, we don't yet see things clearly. We are squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. You know, the regular Bible says, looking through a glass dimly. We don't understand what God is doing, and, you know, and don't even say you do, because you don't. By the time you think you understand what God's doing, he's doing something different. You know, and so don't ever think you've attained, because you won't ever attain. Because God is God, and we're Adam and Eve, right? What are we to receive in the promised land of our inheritance? That we receive the clear revelation of Jesus, clear sight, no more peering into a mirror at ourselves trying to see Jesus in us. How many of you look at the mirror and say, I don't see Jesus in me anywhere. But he's there. The devil just has you on a trip that you shouldn't be going on. rather taking the focus off of the flesh and what the world has to offer us and turning to gaze at the face of Jesus in adoration. In other words, this is what you'll receive. Instead of looking at what the world's doing to you, you look at Jesus and say, I'm so glad that you called me and I'm your child. You won't care what the world's doing to you anymore. How many of you in here, you can't lose anything else. The devil's taking everything he possibly take from you. And there's nothing. That's just what you think. About the time you get there, you find out, yeah, there was something else he could get a hold of, right? So just keep walking. Just keep walking. There must arise an Eve company who will refuse to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I know you all are one. I'm not even going to ask you because God's pleased with this church. He really is. Let us be like Paul, who said in Philippians 3, 8 through 14, yea, doubtless, and account all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that's what Paul says, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's saying, I'm not going to quit for nothing. I'm just going to keep going because I want all of Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you girls are all excited. You're all going to college. What if God would say to you, I don't want you to go to college. I have something else I want you to do. Would you be willing to lay down all your dreams that you had about college? Yeah, it's just an example. I don't know what the rest of you are doing. But you know, that just came to me as I was reading that. You know, would you be willing to lay down your desire to go to college and follow Christ? All right? There is no greater treasure than knowing Jesus in intimacy. That is so true. The fleshly church of this day has yet to learn this truth. But praise God, learn it. It will through the testimony of the testimony of the forerunners. You guys are going to make them believers. Believe me, you are. That he has raised up and is sending out. God has already raised you up, and he's already sending you out. And I'm hearing him say, some of you, your lives are going to be different than what you planned. Because now he's going to do his plan in your life. The forerunners are the humble bond slaves of the Lamb who come mercifully toward us, walking with a limp to show Jesus to those we have previously thought weak, foolish, and despised. We're going to be forerunners walking towards people with a limp because we wrestled with God and won. We belong to God 100%. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, and you're not going to be able to walk your way out of this now. You're tied into God's group, and he's going to use you marvelously. Isn't that awesome? You are the forerunners called. This is what God said. You are the forerunners called forth to know who my son Jesus is, to be just like Jesus, to carry his aroma, and to bring the harvest into my houses. That's God's personally spoke that. Read this again. Get this down in your spirit. Open up your spiritual ears. You are the forerunners called forth to know who my son Jesus is, to be just like Jesus, to carry his aroma and to bring the harvest into my houses. God said that. God said that. I didn't. In the scriptures God spoke to, I didn't. The scriptures were written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? You've been purified. I don't want no more excuses. Don't be another Moses. They want no more excuses. God said, told me he's burned out all the chaff. He's shaken this Lighthouse Church, and he's ready to use it now.